Couple of researchers from Harvard did the study. On a phone line is an emergency physician and faculty member at Harvard Medical Center and the FXB Center for Health and Human Rights at Harvard. His name is Dr. Sachit Balsari, and he joins us on WGN. Doctor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Is that correct? Is that number 4,645 what you believe might be the actual death toll from Hurricane Maria?
Well, though that is the number that is being reported mostly in the media, what we are estimating is that the mortality rate is much higher than the same period from the year before. What we report is a range that extends from 793 to 8,498. That's about 800 to 8,000, and the 4645 number happens to be right in the middle of that range.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that it might be as many as almost 9,000, or it might be as few as about 800. If you split the difference, we're at about 4,600.
This is true, but even the low bound of our estimates agree with previous studies that were completed around late October, early November, both in the academic press as well as in the media. The New York Times had reported about 1,000 deaths by late October.
Either way, 64 is much less than that. But what good is an estimate that starts at 793 and goes over 8,000? I mean, what's that?
That is true. This is a well-established method of estimating mortality after disasters. The focus here, the take-home message, is not the precise number, but the finding that mortality remained high for months after the hurricane. So this is not about people dying on, you know, the day of the hurricane, the day after that, but the fact that people continued to die at a rate that was much higher than normal for the island through October, November, and December. And we found that one-third of those that had died in those months had died because of interrupted services, delayed medical care. There was no water, electricity, cellular phone coverage that resulted in either inability to get to the medical centers, being shut, doctors not being available, patients not getting their medicines, not able to refrigerate their medicines, not being able to use their respiratory machines like CPAPs or nebulizers, and so on and so forth. And that is the most important message from these estimates.
What's the time frame we're talking about, a year?
For what, sir?
I'm saying, so the hurricane happened in September of 2017. This time frame we're talking about, where we're counting the deaths or the rate, how far out did you go?
We counted till the end of December in 2017.
Oh, so just 3 months. September, October, November, December. 3.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the study was conducted, correct. And the study was conducted in January and February.
Okay, but I mean, that strikes me as an enormous number of people for what is a relatively short period of time.
That is correct, and that is the concern. And therefore, it is really important to use this information to prepare better for the hurricane season. I think as we, you know, most disaster plans account for infrastructure damage, but as our populations age and more people suffer from chronic diseases, I think it is important for us to realize that we need to map where these vulnerable patients are and be able to care for them. You know, this is not a new phenomenon, right? We saw it in Hurricane Katrina. We saw it with the nursing homes. We saw it with Hurricane Sandy. You know, downtown Manhattan loses electricity, hospitals shut down, people show up in emergency departments for dialysis. The elderly are trapped in high rises without access to water, electricity, refrigeration for medication.
I understand that, but yeah. this gauging then the, say, mortality rates of an event, mm-hmm, by going forward 3 months because of lack of access to care and basic necessities. That's not unique to this study. We always kind of count it that way.
So there are actually CDC guidelines to attribute the cause of death to a disaster event. And the criteria that we use to attribute any of these deaths, either directly or indirectly, to a disaster, we're using those CDC criteria.
Okay, in that sense, keep going, doctor. Right, pardon me.
Well, in the United States, the official count depends on what is noted on the death certificate. And the criteria in Puerto Rico may not have been applied extensively enough and for a longer duration of time. Mm-hmm. And the governor himself has acknowledged this. They have said that, look, our methodology was limited and the way we assigned these counts may not have been sufficient, which is why they have declared that they were going to recount and have tied up with other academic centers to institute the recount. This is precisely what they will be doing.
To get this number somewhere between 793 and 8,000 something, you guys knocked on 300 doors or looked at 300 cases?
3,299.
Say it
again? 3,299.
3,299. And then you sort of extrapolated from that and therefore said, okay, it could be based on that rate. If we applied it to the population, we might have a number here. And so then it settles in the middle, the way we described, of 4,645 excess deaths during that period. And while the rate, while the range is, again, about 800 to over 8,000, mm-hmm. while that might not be a very practical number for all of us, you weren't actually trying to narrow in on an exact number. You were just trying to see if we may have a problem here. And even on the low end, we have a problem here, don't we?
Precisely. I think that is well put, that even on the low end, we have a problem. And if we want to narrow this range, we need to sample more households. Because death itself is such a rare event that even 3,000 households, which sounds like a very large number, where we ended up sampling about, you know, over 9,000 people, and yet the range is this wide because death is a rare event, and we counted 56 deaths. So if we want to count more deaths to be more precise, we need to sample a lot more households.
What do you have to say about this, Doctor? But the president was down there. All the TV networks were there, and we all were following that story for a while, and then you know what happens. Our attention gets focused on something else. But we promised those U.S. citizens that we would not turn our back on them. Did the government or did we let those people down?
You know, I think if you are in Puerto Rico, you will see that there are so many groups that are continuing to work to respond to what has happened after the hurricane. Our own survey was conducted by 550 Puerto Rican graduate students from Carlos Albizu University and Ponce University. And so, you know, while on the mainland, it might seem like the Puerto Rican story may have been forgotten in the media, I think it is very much a reality for the people that are there.
But it would seem to me like when we all rushed there with our cameras and the president was there, and this isn't about Donald Trump. Maybe it is. I'm not trying to make it. I'm just recollecting the story. But he was, you know, we said, you're U.S. citizens and God bless you. And he was mad at the mayor, but happy with the governor. And we promised them that we would help them. And, you know, and he applauded the fact that only 16 or 17 or 14 people had died. Good job. Then we leave. If the services don't come back, people keep dying as a result of the hurricane. So that's why I asked the question, do we have an obligation to help those people, and did we fail them? Are these deaths attributable not so much to the hurricane, but rather to the lack of a response that they got from the hurricane?
I think we as scientists at a university can answer that question by providing hard evidence and scientific facts, and that is what we have attempted to do here.
You're not a politician or a talk show host, are you? Because it seems to me like if you're telling me that less than 50 people died when the hurricane happened, but at least 793 people died and maybe 8,000 died as a result of the hurricane because of lack of services, and those are United States citizens, then I'm sorry, we've got a bigger story here than a hurricane.
Well, the lack of infrastructure, if you look at the supplements that we have published with our paper, the lack of infrastructure gets reinstituted in a bimodal fashion. So some people get their electricity and their water back quickly, but then for several months, a lot of the infrastructure is not reinstituted. And those are hard questions to ask, right? I think we need to understand why it takes so long for basic utilities to be restarted after a hurricane in the United States.
Right. So maybe Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or anybody would not have been able to get the roads built back, and we would have had this residual death toll. So it's maybe a political question, but not a super critical one of...
Yeah, I would have to do a randomized trial between the two presidencies to answer your question precisely.
It's a fascinating story. It's in the New England Journal of Medicine, Mortality in Puerto Rico After Hurricane Maria. And there's one of the researchers from Harvard involved in it. Fascinating and very helpful, Doctor. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you kindly for your time. Goodbye.